turned off or switched to silent, and use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussions of in-committee items. I'd remind members of their obligation under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they may have in any item of business in the meeting here today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back in to join the meeting once the discussion has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and solid green. Please do not press the microphone button again. As it lit up red, you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you're attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those in the chamber have spoken. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting.
Okay.
So we have any item number one on the agenda. Apologies.
There was apologies from Councillors Hart, McAvoy, Ruan and Finlay.
Okay. Okay. And declarations of interest?
Yep, Chair. Just to declare an interest in item 13, I work for the Royal College of GPs and they've taken a position on that issue, so I'll remove myself at that time.
Okay. Chairperson's remarks? Nope. Just want to thank you all for being here this evening, our last meeting of the year for the Christmas period. I want to start by welcoming students from St. Louis Grammar School in Kilkeel to the chamber this evening. For anyone who's not aware, students took part in our Dragon's Den event during Local Democracy Week, and we're delighted to have you here with us again. You're very welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you once more. As we enter the festive period, I just want to say I've had the privilege of a number of Christmas tree lights switch-ons across Newry, Morne and Down, and I just want to send my sincere thanks and gratitude to our council staff and the many community volunteers that make these events worthwhile. They bring people together, strengthen our community, and give us the chance to pause and be thankful to one another. Said many times, the people of Newry, Morne and Down are very special, and it's just reflected in this season. This time of year also gives us an opportunity and a moment for reflection. With that in mind, I want to place on record my heartfelt condolences for our colleague, Donna Starkey, who lost her husband recently. As you all know, Donna is a wonderful person, and our thoughts and prayers with her family at this time. I also want to extend my sympathy and custody surgeon for raising this to my attention to the tragic victims of the fire in Hong Kong. I want to thank Councillor Surgeoner for making me recognise that a lot of the citizens within Newry, Morne and Down have a lot of heritage and connections to the region in Tai Po district. And finally, I want to offer a fond farewell to Josephine, who is leaving us. This will be your last full council meeting. You're going to know the pastor's new, so we wish you all the best and thank you for your service and time here in Newry, Morne and Down. Thank you. Okay, so item number three on the agenda is the action sheet. Excuse me a moment. Action sheet raised from the council meeting held on the 3rd of November 2025. Can I propose and seconder, please? Councillor Hannan, seconder. Second. Councillor Murphy. Pages. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Yes. Okay. Minutes of the council meeting held on the 3rd of November 2025. Yes, sorry. We'll bring in Kilkeel, St. Louis, Kilkeel Grammar School. So, guys, you have the floor to speak to your motion, which. I guess 2 minutes. Yeah. Now, remote delegates here tonight.
Yeah, I can hear okay, yeah.
Sorry, just go back to the action sheet. Is there any matters raised from the action sheet? No? Okay. So, with us from St. Louis Grammar School, we have Shea Byrne, Aaron Cormack, Aoife Dinsmore, and Niamh Crowley. So, guys, you were the winning pitch in the Dragons Day in the Low Democracy Week, so please feel free to state your pitch and your motion to council here now.
Good evening, councillors. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak to you this evening about what we believe is a very important topic, uninformed voting at 18. Would you hand a driving licence to an 18-year-old without giving them lessons to ensure they could drive? Young people's knowledge in politics is very ill-informed, and it isn't because we don't care. It's because we feel disconnected from a process in which we don't know how to navigate. Today, we ask that you debate this issue and help bridge that gap. Voting can often seem very far away, but for teenagers of our age, it isn't. It is literally right around the corner. It is our right to vote, but for who and for what? All too often, an 18-year-old will have the chance to vote for the very first time and will simply follow the voting practices of their parents.
This issue is even more pressing because the current UK government wanted to lower the voting age to 16 when they were last campaigning. In Northern Ireland, there are about 48,000 young people who would be affected. Those who support lowering the voting age say it would get young people more involved in politics. They also point out that 16 and 17-year-olds already have many important rights, so they should also have a voice in choosing their leaders. But those who are against it wonder if young people are mature enough or haven't enough life experience. Plus, some are concerned that lowering the voting age would affect election results, suggesting it is a political strategy because younger people often vote for left-leaning parties than older people do.
While we are definitely in favour of young people aged 18 or even 16 having the right to vote, we know from personal experience that young people do not have the necessary knowledge to make informed decisions. You might ask, what about education in all of this? Shouldn't schools teach young people about politics? And the answer is yes, they should. However, the Electoral Commission has stated that some teachers are hesitant to teach about politics and democracy. They are worried that they might seem that they are supporting one specific political party, which can make parents unhappy. Even so, the Commission is creating unbiased materials for schools to help them teach about democracy. Since the curriculum is a devolved matter in Northern Ireland, it would be up to the Education Department here to decide if they want to use these materials.
In the meantime, as a council, you can be a leader in preparing young citizens. We're asking you to debate this notice and motion and discuss ways that you can help us. Some ideas that we thought of could be partnering with local schools to run registration drives for sick form students.
Supporting workshops that teach young people how to read a party manifesto.
Organising sick form debates about political views.
Democracy is a system of government in which people vote their elected representatives into parliament or council. As young people, we're happy to be involved and entitled to be involved. But we need to know more about the process and what our vote can do. We're asking you to debate how you can help us with that.
Okay, thank you guys. It's a strong motion to look for support from council to be more informed in your decision-making processes. Any questions from the floor?
Just want to welcome Shay, Aoife, Niamh and Aaron all back to the chamber from the last day. These were great then and great again this evening. But no, you definitely hit the nail on the head. You wouldn't give someone a licence if they didn't know how to drive. I think that was my favourite thing from the day. But I think we should all just come up with great suggestions, and I would be, on behalf of Sinn Féin, endorsing all of them. Yous are in tune and engaged, like many young people in our politics, and they need to be more educated and more engaged in the decisions that help shape where we are. So I would be looking to put forward that we write off to DEA and local schools outlining what the students have put out in terms of engaging with schools, allowing councillors and elected representatives to come in and allow for that level of engagement so that they can be more informed. So if you want me to put that in writing, that's fine.
Is that a proposal, Councillor? Happy to second that. Councillor Bunsey?
Yeah, Councillor Quinn and Councillor Campbell, I was there as well, and you did very well to present your motion and to present the arguments that particularly a lot of parties have around the voting age. As you know, from that event, the DUP wouldn't be in favour of lowering the voting age, but we are very much in favour of making sure that young people are informed whenever they do reach the age of 18, that they do make a choice that reflects their views. So happy to support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Bowsey. Councillor High.
Yes, thanks, Chair, and thank you to the students for presenting tonight. I know how sort of scary these situations can be as well, and you're very welcome, and it's great to see. I think there's one thing about your motion in saying that young people need to be more informed, and I do agree, but also I want to honour the fact that you're here and you are informed and you know your political systems and you know your council. And actually, I don't want to take that away from young people either. You know, there are some fantastic young people who do know and want to be more involved. And I think that is what's really exciting about the voting age being lowered to 16 as well, is we're going to be bringing in a demographic who are informed. And I think it's so important to bring young people in to be part of that process. So I fully support the recommendations as well. I was wondering perhaps if we could also maybe write to the Minister, if she mentioned how the curriculum needs to be adapted in terms of having politics being and democracy and how to vote and who to vote for as part of the curriculum. And if we could maybe write to the Minister, particularly because the voting age is being lowered to 16, how the department is supporting schools to ensure that young people are informed when the voting age is lowered in the upcoming elections. So thank you, Chair.
Okay, is that proposal, Councillor High? Seconder for that? Councillor Quinn, are you happy to accept an amendment to the... Councillor Taylor?
Yep, thank you, Chair. Chair, unfortunately, I couldn't get to the local Democracy Week event that was held, but I certainly want to welcome the pupils of St. Louis Grammar here this evening. And it was very, you know, very heartening and very interesting to hear your views on this. This issue, obviously, you know, I certainly something I felt for a long time that maybe schools could certainly do more to prepare, you know, anybody approaching voting age to know the full, you know, have a full understanding and full workings of what it entails. I suppose, you know, voting is obviously a vital part of our democracy, and I think we all, you know, should be as best informed as we can be before we make that decision. And I think you have said, you know, a very important thing about, you know, traditionally people do follow what their parents, you know, tell them to do in terms of voting, or maybe encourage them to do. And I suppose we all have our own minds on things, and really, if we're best informed before making that important decision about who you vote for and who you want to make decisions in your behalf, we all certainly want to be as best informed and be fully knowledgeable about the system that we're working within. So your motion is very pertinent to that, and I certainly hope that the New Education Authority and the department, you know, take what you have obviously said tonight and what we as a council support on board going forward, and with our schools do you know, take that forward. And schools obviously do some, you know, things. Not to say that schools aren't doing anything, they are, but I think it's like everything else, it probably could go into more depth than it does at this stage. So anything that helps improve that, helps I suppose our democracy evolve is important too. So thanks for coming along here tonight and speaking to all of us within the chamber here. I appreciate it.
Councillor Taylor, Councillor King.
Thank you, Chair. It's lovely to see you guys all again. I also was involved in the event, and it was the Chair's idea, the hosting of that event. My congratulations to the winners behind us on their motion and how excellently they have presented that. I think that the whole event gave all of the students the opportunity to have their voice, and all the participants put forward really good motions. Just to support what all my other colleagues have said this evening, but maybe just to add a piece to the motion going forward, or to the letter that's going forward. Yes, ideally, to change the curriculum would be brilliant. Working in education, I know how difficult that would be. So even to push the agenda that schools would participate or take up the opportunity for local councillors to engage with students at school level to help with that process. I mean, obviously the SDLP have lobbied long and hard as well over the years to have the voting age reduced. But again, our young people need to be in, yes, they need to be involved and to have their voice. So I don't know how you feel about that amendment, but I think it would be but gather traction much quicker than trying to get a change to curriculum.
So you just restated that amendment or
yes, an amendment going forward that schools are aware of the opportunity or to push the agenda that schools would uphold the opportunity for local council to get involved at school level.
The seconder for that?
Second.
Councillor Byrne? Yeah. Councillor Byrne, are you happy to take that amendment? Yep. Okay, thank you very much. Councillor King, or Devlin?
Yep, thank you, Chair. I'm supposed to say that past people of St Louis, and not that I'd be one bit biased at all, but I have to say that I know that Orla had filled me in on the contributions that were made, obviously, on the night, but I mean, it's just superb to see us all here.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Devlin. So we are in agreement? Yep. Motion's passed. Congratulations, guys. And for our protocol, would you like to sum up? Would you like to have final remarks on your motion being passed? I put you on the spot there.
So what's this? This is like a closing. Well, as we all like feel very strongly about this motion, we're like thrilled that this has been passed, and we really think this is going to be extremely beneficial for not just us, but young people in the future, to have this knowledge about politics and to know that their vote really means something. To know these people aren't just like names on a billboard, but they're actually doing their jobs and that we know what they are doing. We know what they're doing for our community, and we're just very thankful that you have passed this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ready to go. Okay, so moving on to item number 4 on the agenda. It's the minutes of the council meeting held on the 3rd of November 2025. Go through the minutes for accuracy. Pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Propose, Councillor McGuinness, seconder. Ms. Murphy, any matters arising? Nope. Okay, item number 5 on the agenda, minutes of the Economy, Regeneration and Tourism Committee held on the 10th of November 2025. Go through the minutes, pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I can have a proposer and a seconder, please.
So proposed, Chair.
Councillor Andrews, and seconded Councillor Lee Sargent. Any matters arising? Councillor Devlin?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just relates to page 2 in terms of the MOU for the Friends of the Arboretum, and just really to welcome what's before us. I mean, this has literally been talked about for actually nearly a decade, and I'm showing the age here. It's always been a key part of what we wanted to see within the Forest Park in Castlewell, and that sort of community ownership element was just so, so important. I think for any of us that have been about that length of time, we see how sort of even more special Castlewell Park Forest Park has been becoming with each layer of investment that's coming into play, and we now obviously have the treetop walk on top of everything else. So I think it's really superb for the future of the Forest Park, and I'm delighted to see it. We comment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Okay, moving on to item number 6 on the agenda was the Minister of Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee held on the 13th of November 2025. Go through from Darcy, pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Both Councillor O'Hare, seconder. Councillor McAteer, any matters arising? No? Okay, good. Moving on to item number 7, the minutes of the Active Healthy Communities, meeting held on the 17th of November 2025. Through the minutes of accuracy, pages 1, 2, 3, 4. Pages 1, 2, 3, and 4, can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Proposed Councillor Murphy and seconded Councillor Mathers. Any matters arising? Thank you. Item number 8, Minister of Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 19th of November 2025 with through the Minister for Accuracy. Pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yep. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Councillor O'Hare, second. Councillor Young. Councillor Hannah?
Could I just ask, which one are we on? Anyway, is it sustainable?
Sustainable environment, yes.
Just asking, Ed, what plans has she made for the Christmas wind collections? I've heard nothing yet, so I haven't. I just wanted to turn into a fiasco. Could you give us an explanation of what you're going to do or some indication?
Through the chair, an update report was provided at the S&E committee, approved, have been previously approved by members. So alternative collection days for Christmas Day and St Stephen's Day and for New Year's Day. So we will be issuing publications in the normal print media and social media. And in addition to that, we are currently dining and printing stickers to be placed on the bins for the affected residents and business customers on the Thursdays. And
good, so, you've learned lessons there. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Any other matters arising? No? Okay. Item number 9 on the agenda was the planning section, as well as the report. Item number 10 is...
Chair, just on that, on the planning section, could I make a comment? Okay. I was just looking for some sort of an update there. We haven't really had a proper update. I know Connor has sent us out emails reference Civic Centre with very little information. We're receiving emails from, I don't know who they are, I'll be quite honest with you. And could maybe Connor, it's his responsibility to give us some sort of an update and clarification of what's actually taking place.
Yeah, I issued a correspondence to all councillors, I think it was last week, advising of the current position. The application has been submitted to the courts. It's a matter for the courts to make the determination of whether a leave will be granted to hear the judicial review. I have nothing further to offer at this stage.
Okay, I just thought I would ask.
Thank you, Glenn. Councillor Gilbreth?
I was coming in for correspondence.
Correspondence. Item number 10 on the agenda is correspondence. Who's in a seconder? Both, Councillor Finn, seconded.
Go ahead.
Councillor Gilbreth. Any matters arising? Councillor Gilbreth.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just in relation to 10.1, the correspondence in relation to Kiva's Law. Chair, as you know, I have a motion to be heard later in relation to this Kiva's Law. It's great to see support shown by our colleagues in Mid-Ulster as we confront an issue no family should ever have to face. Look, in the aftermath of fatal road collisions, while emergency responders work to save lives, others lift their phones to film. Though our family is even told their loved one is gone, footage is already circulating on Snapchat, WhatsApp and across social media. These are not just videos, but these are someone's final moments. Someone's daughter, someone's brother, someone's mother or father. The O'Brien family did the best. No mother should ever have to race against the internet to tell her own son that his sister has died. Their daughter Kiva deserved dignity, and every family does. That is why our support matters, because right now there is no specific law in Northern Ireland to prevent this harmful, traumatising behaviour. Kiva's Law would change that, protecting families, safeguarding their dignity, and recognising that a post can wait, a message can wait. But families' pain will last forever. We need to send a clear message that compassion must come before curiosity, that we stand with these families and choose dignity. And it would be great to see Council take this vital step towards justice, and if necessary, I would like to propose that Council actions this correspondence. Thank you.
Seconder for that proposal, Councillor Gilbert?
I'll second.
Professor Andrews? Are we in agreement? Okay. Councillor Rice?
Gorman Ogle Chair, it's in relation to 10.3 and 10.4. In relation to the correspondence from the CCMS regarding Clone Primary School, I note that they have gone to great lengths to stress that no decision has been made. However, the feeling in the local community is that we are facing an inevitable closure of Clone Primary School. So just in relation to that, we'll just have to see how much scrutiny is afforded to the all options going forward. And then for 10.4, just to welcome the correspondence from the SRC in regards to the local fishing industry in Coquille, it's helpful that they've outlined what measures they have taken to support this industry. However, without rehashing what was said in previous meetings, there are the issues that are still outstanding for the fishing industry, and indeed most industries, be that manufacturing, horticulture and agriculture, and they're still being battered with the issues regarding obtaining seasonal workers. So I welcome the commitment from the likes of the SRC to help the fishing industry, that the main issue isn't going away and it's only getting worse.
Thank you, Councillor Rice. Councillor Murphy.
Thank you, Chair. Mine's in relation to correspondence 10.2. The time it has taken to respond is not acceptable. The contents of the response again dismisses the situation that residents living adjacent to the harbour have had to deal with. It's not enough to keep stating that there is no breach of the licence and ignore the obnoxious smell that is an ongoing issue for the Warren Point residents. Is the Minister going to treat them with the same contempt and dismissive attitude as those responsible? For the Minister to offer a meeting to the chairperson of the council and the CEO of the council and ignore the local councillors, it's not acceptable. I propose we write back and seek a meeting with Crotlead councillors in Warren Point Town Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, for that proposal.
Councillor Quinn.
Councillor Quinn. Are we in agreement? Yes? Okay. Councillor Murphy, could you talk? Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair. My comments are related to item 10.5, the ministerial response in terms of the road between Coquille and Newcastle. Just to express, Chair, my disappointment in that letter. I can only imagine how busy a ministerial diary would be. But this is a really important issue. And I think from the nature of the debate that took place in our chamber that night, we knew how emotive the whole thing was for many people. And it really is something that's very, very important to us. So I'm proposing, Chair, we write back to the Minister and say that we appreciate how busy her diary is. We don't want to meet with an official. We would like to meet with the Minister herself on this very important issue, but we are prepared to wait, Chair. We appreciate how busy that she would be, so we would write back and just basically say that we understand, not right now, but can we get a date locked in for the future, and if needs be, we'd be even willing to accept a Teams meeting or a virtual meeting to that effect, which might be handier for her to her diary, but I don't think we want to accept that we're just not going to meet.
Was there a seconder for that proposal? Rahana, are we in agreement? Yep. Okay. Councillor
Hannah. Thanks, Chair. Just on same as Michael, 10.3 and 10.4. Just firstly on the closure of the primary school in Rostrava, quite honestly, this needs to be sorted. Needs to be sorted soon. Give some reassurance to the families and the parents. We just can't let it linger too long, so we can't. Money to look after those types of schools are very, very important. So they are, because they are a part of the community. You need to look after them, so we're doing this. Just the procession of the DUP will be adopting on this. And on the fishing industry, just last weekend I was down at the harbour, and these whole issues with visas for the fishermen that work on the boats and all that, councillors are inclined to get the blame for a lot of it. You were with me whenever we did get the blame, so we did. And Michael was there as well. Only I had these two boys there to protect me. I don't know what would have happened to me. Only I had the two bodyguards with me. But instead of that, fishermen do get very animated. There was a lot of money tied up in it, so they have. And to be quite honest with you, this does need sorted. But on, as we said to the gentleman we were talking to, Chair, it is a reserved matter. We have little or no influence at all, so we can just lobby. So the sooner this can happen, the better. And on the looking at the centre there, that the what is it, Port of Ogie, is it, or is it, or Glass, that we're going to get a look at? No word back on it. Where? Port of Ogie. We still haven't got a date for that, Chair, so hopefully that they're what's coming, it'll probably be in the new year now. Hopefully we'll get a visit arranged for that. So thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Mr. Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's on the same issue that Councillor Murphy had raised, but I just want clarity on the letter going forward. I totally agree with
Councillor Murphy back and asking for the crop leave, councillors. But I want to be very careful that we don't set a precedent. The minister does not decide who from the council to meet. The request was to meet a delegation from this council. And I know it usually goes by the hunt when you meet a minister, and we've done it in the past, where we have a delegation from all parties. I have two questions. The letter that went to the minister, did it state the chief executive and the chair, or was it just a delegation from the council? That's my first question. I assume I know the answer to that it wouldn't be. And secondly, I'm very wary of writing back to the minister who says, let me know, would you agree to this approach of who he says he wants to meet? And write back and say, but would you meet these people from Crot Leave? I don't think you should start doing that. I think it's accept the meeting and the council will send a delegation. Otherwise, we have Minister Muir sending a letter back saying whether he agrees to meet Crot Leave councillors or not. That is not in his remit. If he's meeting, he's meeting. He doesn't decide who he's meeting. So I don't want to go down this path where a minister picks and chooses who he's going to meet. I think it'd be foolish of us to write back and say, will you meet this set list of councillors? It's not in his remit.
Was there a councillor Byrne? Is it?
I make that a proposal.
Seconder?
So just to clarify, the letter was sent to say to meet with council.
Okay. Meet with council, is that council? The council? Councillor Murphy?
I'm happy
enough. Okay, in agreement? Okay. Item number 11 on the agenda, which was the notice of motion for the complete, which is gone. Item number 12, notice of motion is Keeper's Law, Councillor Gilbreath. I'm going to speak to your motion and tell us who's going to second it, please.
Thanks, Chair. Just based on the proposal from the correspondence, I'm happy to withdraw the motion at this stage. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Gilbreath. Seconder for that? Councillor Devlin? Okay. Moving on to item number 13, notice of motion, physicians associates. Councillor Rice, would you like to speak your motion and tell us who's going to second it?
Gary Miaga, Chair. This council voices its dismay that the Department of Health has continued to fund this bespoke course while the previous graduating classes have not been able to secure a job within the North. This council recognises the acute pressures our hospitals are under and voices its frustration that many graduates are being forced to leave these shores once they graduate. This council calls on the Department of Health to act on the findings of the Lang Review and allocate funding for the position of a physician associate within our hospitals and GP surgeries. Chair, I want to raise an issue that's becoming increasingly concerning for residents and healthcare professionals across the North. It relates to the Department of Health's funding of the Physician Associates Programme at Ulster University and the growing separation between the number of graduates being funded year on year and the availability of roles within our local health service. The Department of Health has supported the development of Physician Associates training as part of the efforts to strengthen the wider multidisciplinary workforce. Ulster University has expanded this programme and each year, a cohort of highly trained PAs graduate with clinical skills intended to support doctors, improve patient flow, and reduce pressures on frontline services. Yet, despite public funding going into this training pathway, many physician associate graduates are finding that there is no available post within the five trust divisions. This creates several problems. Skilled graduates are left without employment, often after significant personal finance and investment in training. The Trust continues to face staffing pressures, particularly in acute and GP settings, yet it is not utilising a workforce designed to help alleviate these pressures. Patients across the North continue to experience long waiting times, pressures on emergency departments, GP recruitment challenges and service reductions in some areas. The fact that graduates trained specifically to support clinical teams cannot secure posts locally adds to the public frustration and undermines the confidence in the system. When we look at the two major hospitals in our district, the Down and Daisy Hill, this chamber is well aware of the acute issues faced by our own constituents attending these hospitals. Yet the current situation is forcing an export of locally trained medical professionals where qualified PAs have to leave the North for employment elsewhere. The recent Lang Review has made it clear that the PA role requires proper workforce planning, regulation, and clearly defined responsibilities. Yet the Department of Health continues to fund PA training places without ensuring those graduates have a post to move into in the north. If national experts are calling for a structured deployment of PAs, then our trust cannot continue to leave trained professionals without employment. The review strengthens the case for immediate action and a clear plan for PA integration into the local healthcare systems. However, to date, it seems the department has been sitting on its hands and is ignoring this issue. In bringing this motion, I would like to seek the following answers from the department. Why are PA roles not being recruited into, especially when other parts of the UK and Ireland are integrating PAs more extensively into clinical teams? Is there a strategy to create PA posts in priority areas such as GP practices, emergency medicine, frailty services or surgical teams? How is the department ensuring the public funding for training aligns with the real employment opportunities within the trust? At a time when our health service is under immense pressure, it is not sustainable to train professionals then that we do not employ. It is scandalous that the department is content to invest in our young people, but then fail to provide them with the job opportunities in this jurisdiction. We cannot afford to invest in our young people and then force them to seek employment abroad, taking their skills and expertise with them. This is not just about value for money, but ultimately about improving patient care within the north. The Health Minister needs to stop sitting on his hands and address this issue as a matter of urgency. Tonight, I will call on all councillors to support tonight's motion, and I welcome any engagement with the Department and Trust to seek clarity on a plan of action. Jeremy Abbott.
Yes, sir. Are you seconding your motion? Councillor Mathers. Councillor Mathers, would you like to speak to the motion?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, pleased to second this motion. I want to echo the concern already raised about the Department of Health's decision to continue funding the Physician Associate Programme while failing to create posts for the very graduates it trains. It's deeply frustrating that previous graduating classes have been unable to secure employment in the north. At a time when our hospitals are under acute pressure and when GP practices are struggling, it is simply unacceptable that highly trained PA graduates are being forced to leave these shores to find work. This is the skilled staff that are potentially being lost, and in the present climate, the trusts cannot afford to be hemorrhaging these skills. And you think of my local hospital, Daisy Hill, where staff shortages are spoken about frequently. The same can be said for GP services. We cannot continue exporting skilled professionals while our own communities sit on waiting lists and experience overstretched services. Sure.
Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair, just a few comments in relation to the motion. Just in the first instance, I suppose I want to recognise the important role that physician associates are actually referred to physician assistants now, the role that they play within Northern Ireland's health and social care system. At present, there are approximately 80 physician assistants working within Northern Ireland across the five health and social care trusts and in primary care. And as it has been mentioned, the Department of Health does support the 2-year degree at Ulster University for the role, and has done since the programme was first introduced in 2018. The current provision, and I do acknowledge that it should be much higher, is grounded in evidence that physician assistants working collaboratively with medical professionals can make a significant contribution to stabilising and improving clinical teams. And at a time when our services are under severe pressure, I recognise that they represent an effective and patient-centred solution to some of the persistent workforce challenges that there are within the healthcare system. They're highly trained and they work under the supervision of doctors and help provide diagnosis and treatment and continuity of care. In Northern Ireland, I suppose, where waiting lists are amongst the longest in the UK, the availability of physician assistants to help stabilise staffing levels and improve access to timely care is particularly valuable. And Professor Gillian Lang's review of the physician assistant role in England will no doubt help inform future provision of the role here across Northern Ireland. And I certainly welcome the fact that Sinn Féin appeared to endorse that. So I think importantly, I do believe that the Department of Health are here in Northern Ireland looking at conducting its own evaluation of the role within the local health and social care system. And certainly we hope that can lead to further roles within the system that exists here at present.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Bowsey.
Yeah, it's a valid issue that Councillor Rice has raised.
the class of 18 students were assured that they would get a job after graduation. And according to the BBC, only two managed to get a physician associate or PA post. That needs to be addressed. There are some legitimate concerns around the function of PAs, which has hampered recruitment, but there does need to be better course planning in connection to that. British Medical Association's main objection is PAs and doctors being regulated under the same General Medical Council, which then implies both roles have the same medical training, which they argue not only undermines the medical profession, but confuses patients. There's tensions around PAs being put into theatre instead of wards, taking away training opportunities for doctors. The motion rightly references the acute pressure our hospitals are under, but it is the reliance then on PAs to fill the gaps in hospitals, which gives the doctors' union further concern over patient safety, and we would share those concerns. The Lang Review deals with these issues to ensure that there's optimal use of PAs in our health service. And it is right that our health minister responds to those findings. I think that it is something our MLAs should be challenging him on, particularly in the health committee, which is chaired by Sinn Féin. But Councillor Rice is right. It's unfortunate when our own NHS workers have to leave Northern Ireland, and that even applies up the ladder. My own sister's just had to move to Scotland. She's a surgeon, and yet surgery waiting times in Northern Ireland are at a record high. What's important for now, that can at least be highlighted through this motion, is that students are able to make an informed decision that a job isn't guaranteed after a PA degree, which of course is the same for many degrees, but when it's a publicly funded course with no jobs at the end of it, it's the taxpayer who also deserves answers, so we support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Blasey. Councillor Feehan.
Thanks, Chair. And just at the outset, I would declare an interest in that I have an immediate family member in the medical profession. I would thank Councillor Rice for bringing the motion forward. It is a very important issue. I think the issue with PAs, indeed the issue across medicine really, you have quite the bizarre situation where you have people that are pushing themselves through a course that can last, you know, anywhere up to 7 years. And then at the end of that, they're sort of been told that there's no place for them, or that they're going to, I mean, Callum's only after saying, you know, having to go to places like Scotland or England. It's particularly frustrating for people like me who are involved in the campaign around Daisy Hill and Newry, and the constant stonewall that we get from the Trust is that, you know, we have a shortage of doctors. They're very hard to find, and that really doesn't square with the reality of not PAs and medics not being able to find placements in the Trust system whenever they come out of university. So, as I say, really, really welcome the motion from Councillor Rice, wondering if he'd accept an amendment just to write to the Northern Ireland Medical and Dental Training Association to request their input on the issue and their assessment of the need to integrate PA placements into Trust workforce planning. And then secondly, I note that, you know, the motion calls to write to the Department of Health. I think it would be appropriate also to write to the Finance Minister to ask him what additional funding he is able to make available to address the acute shortages in hospitals and GP practices as identified in Councillor Rice's motion as well. So thank you very much.
Chris?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I know. The First Amendment, happy to accept, but the second one takes away from the point of this is that this is a bespoke course that's funded by the Department of Health, and then there's no jobs for them coming out of it. So that's why I wouldn't be accepting your second amendment, but happy to accept the first one.
Mr. Feehan? Happy to accept that?
I mean, yeah, I understand the bespoke course. I mean, within your motion, you speak to general shortages within hospitals, acute shortages within hospitals and GP surgeries. And look, I appreciate if you don't want to accept the request to write to the Finance Minister, that's up to you. But I do think ultimately that if we're talking about funded places within the health service, that the Finance Minister is the other competent minister in the equation around the executive table.
So, are we in agreement that you take the First Amendment and not second? Yep, not second. Are we in agreement? No. What do I vote? Show of hands.
I would. I would agree with Councillor Rice. It does take away from it because this isn't about hospital places. This is about the health service funding or the health department funding the course. There's no jobs at the end of it. motion, the proposal to write to the finance minister is a different issue that we might not all agree on.
Would you vote? Show of hands. Mr. Max here.
No, well, just, Chair, as I said, it is a matter of an executive. I would make the presumption that the Minister for Health would have asked the Minister for Finance, I presume, if either declined, refused, or as he never asked, one of the two. So that's the point of us. I mean, this is an issue of the catastrophe that's going on in the executive, that nobody's talking to each other. And, you know, we're trying our best at the council level to sort of pick up the pieces of emotions. So I think it's quite wise to write to the Minister of Finance. First of all, clarify, did they even receive a request? Because the shambles continues.
Is that another proposal, Councillor?
But just backing up the colleague's proposal.
That's been accepted, so we'll go to the vote. Go, Hans. Go to her. Councillor Payne, he typed up. Second amendment. Hasn't been accepted. Second amendment is the right to the finance minister. Yeah. Has been accepted. Yes. We're voting on writing to the finance minister for additional and for additional funding for this. Show of hands. We're not taking the second amendment to writing to the finance minister, so vote for, against.
Have to do vote first.
Sorry, then.
Write to the finance minister to request additional funding.
Clarity, Councillor Rice has accepted the First Amendment, but we're not accepting the Second Amendment, so we're going to be voting on that. Correct? Second Amendment. Change the Second Amendment has been emailed around. Go to the vote. Is everybody read the amendment? Yes, so write to NIMTA to request their input in the issues. Write to the Finance Minister to ask him for additional funding he is able to make available to address the acute shortage in our hospitals and GP practices. Okay. Those in favour? Or to vote? Okay.
Just apologies for my late arrival. I was at a training event today. So just on the recorded vote. So, Councillor Andrews.
For the amendment.
Councillor Boysie.
Against.
Councillor Brennan. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Campbell.
Yes.
Councillor Clark.
No,
he's just there now.
Four.
Part of the discussion, actually. So, okay. So, recorded as absent, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Enright.
Four.
Councillor Feehan, Councillor Finn, Councillor Galbraith, Councillor Gibbons.
Four.
Councillor Hanlon, Councillor Hanna, Councillor Hart, absent, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Howell,
against.
Councillor Kelly has declared an interest. Councillor Howe, Councillor Jackson,
against.
Councillor Kearns, Councillor Orla King, Councillor Cahill King,
against.
Councillor Larkin,
against.
Councillor Lee Surgener,
against.
Councillor Lewis, Councillor McGuinness,
against.
Councillor Mathers, Councillor McAteer, Councillor Declan Murphy,
against.
Councillor Kate Murphy,
against.
Councillor Murphy, excuse me, Selena Murphy. Councillor O'Hare,
against.
Councillor Quinn,
against.
Councillor Riley, yeah. Councillor Rice, Councillor Rowan is absent. Councillor Taylor,
four.
Councillor Tinley, absent. Councillor Truesdale,
against.
And Councillor Young. 11-4 and 24 against, so the amendment falls.
Yes, thank you. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Councillor Rice, for bringing this important motion. It's something that affects all of us, so it's important to have the discussion around it. We have to look at the breaking point situation of GP surgeries in Northern Ireland and view a diversified workforce, including PAs, as necessary to stabilise services and improve recruitment and retention in the health sector. There are concerns surrounding PA and their parameters of work within the health system, and we are aware that the department has undertaken a review of the role of PAs in Northern Ireland, and we look forward to the publication of that. So while we're supportive of the role, we also need to clarify and clearly define the scope of practice and ensure appropriate supervision to avoid patient safety concerns.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Moving on to Councillor Rice, would you like to sum up?
Yep, thanks, Chair. No, it's just the reason why I didn't accept the amendment is no matter how much money we throw at this, the problem isn't about funding, it's to do with the allocation of the role. The reality is that there's people coming out of this course now working agency work and getting paid double money than people that are working there. So Morale even alone is down at the minute in hospitals, like, so that's the main issue, is that it's with the Department of Health to make a decision whether to continue funding this role and design what the scope is for it or not. No matter what money you're going to throw at it, isn't going to make a difference.
Thank you, Chair. Point of information on clarity. Obviously, we have to vote on the motion now as well, so before we move off that. There's a double negative there, and I want to get it clear in our heads. So the council calls the Department of Health to allocate funding for positions, but it's not about allocating funding, because no matter how much funding you throw, it's not about funding. Just a bit. So we need to clarify that. Are we going to write to the Department of Health asking to allocate funding for positions after the course, or are we not? And that's why I think it's really, really important that when we have discussions that should be have, they should be having at the executive table as well, and you have all the ministers around, and especially a week after the budget, when you have an additional $370 million, although it's loosely tied to certain areas, that we can't dare not have a discussion with the person that holds the purse strings when there is additional money coming in, when the executive have been asked to make the decisions. I mean, we should be able to do that, and that's why the amendment, but I understand why it hasn't passed. But I want clarity. Are we writing to ask them to allocate funding, or are we not? Because the opposite was said there. Councillor Rice.
Yep, sorry, I meant funding in the round, as in like more funding, because Councillor Feehan's amendment was regarding the acute pressures in GP surgeries in hospitals. So it's not about additional funding for GP surgeries and that. It's about this bespoke role. That was why, sorry, I misspoke. That's why I didn't want to accept the amendment in relation to that.
Councillor Burney, Councillor Bising.
I can see where the SDLP is coming from, but I think the Health Minister has to give his response to the findings of the Lang Review. So what's the point putting money towards potential jobs if we don't even accept the findings in the Lang Review?
Mr. Taylor?
Well, sure, it was just to back up that. It was something I noticed myself. There was a contradiction there and calling for questioning on funding and then saying it should be funded. So it is important to get a bit of clarity on that.
We in agreement? Go to the vote. Show of hands for the motion.
And we have a show of hands from Councillor Enright, Truesdale and Gibbons, if you're for. Councillor Gibbons. Okay.
Sorry, yep, four. I'm just having problems here. Yep.
So
34-4. 34. Which is great. Okay, moving on to item number 14 on the agenda, notice of motion for parking. There's been a request to hear this motion, normally referred to committee. However, it is time-bound, so we will require suspension of standing order 16.1 by a qualified majority vote, which it means 80% of those members present and voting on this. So, your proposer and a seconder to suspend standing orders? Opposed, Councillor Hannan? Seconder? Mr. Mathers?
Okay, so just this is to vote for or against here in the notice of motion. So, Councillor Andrews? Councillor Boisey?
For.
Councillor Brennan? Councillor Byrne? Councillor Campbell?
For.
Councillor Clark? Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright?
For.
Councillor Behan, Councillor Finn, Councillor Galbraith, Councillor Gibbons.
Four.
Councillor Hanlon, Councillor Hanna, Councillor Hart's absent, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Howell.
Four.
Councillor Howie.
Four.
Councillor Jackson, Councillor Kearns.
Four.
Councillor Orla King. Councillor Cahill King.
Four.
Councillor Larkin.
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgener.
Four.
Councillor Lewis. Councillor McGuinness. Councillor Mathers. Councillor McAteer.
Four.
Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor Declan Murphy. Councillor Kate Murphy.
Four.
Councillor Selena Murphy. Councillor O'Hare.
Four.
Councillor Quinn. Councillor Riley, Councillor Rice, Councillor Ruan's absent, Councillor Taylor, Councillor Tinley is absent, Councillor Truesdale,
four,
and Councillor Young. So it's all four, so 100%.
Okay. Councillor Kearns, would you like to speak your motion and tell us can you second it, please?
Yes, thank you. Councillor Hannan is going to be seconded, and there has been a slight amendment to it. But this council recognises the importance of revitalising our town centres and the challenges of parking in Newry City and Downpatrick, acknowledges the need to encourage people to shop locally, further recognises that workers, business and shoppers need access to parking, and that availability of parking is an asset to the economic development of the area. Also acknowledges the commitment of the Minister for Infrastructure to assess all options to ease pressure in relation to on-street parking and to make on-street parking free on public holidays. involving council officials to introduce appropriate park incentives for off-street car parks in time for the retail rush ahead of Christmas, and this can take the form of free parking for the next three Saturdays. Garja, parking is a significant issue for people in this district. We know that our workers, shoppers and businesses need access to reliable access parking. Every year as we approach Christmas, we try to encourage as many people as possible to shop local to support local businesses. Shopping local has obvious benefits for the local economy and enhances the social life of our urban centres. We're bringing this motion tonight to try to incentivise shopping locally. We're calling on the council to introduce appropriate incentives for off-street car parking in time for the retail rush ahead of Christmas. Free parking for the next three Saturdays would help shoppers and make our towns and city centres more attractive to shop in. By doing so, we can play our part in making Newry Morning Down a more attractive and accessible place to shop and socialise this Christmas. Anything that makes life easier for shoppers, workers, retailers and our hospitality sector should be considered. I hope colleagues from across this chamber will support this motion and that the council can implement these recommendations as soon as possible. For a meeting in August.
Councillor Kearns, Councillor Hanlon.
Just to say I'm happy to support the motion submitted by Geraldine to council calling for parking incentives across council car parks in the district to help support local businesses, residents and shoppers this Christmas. Measures like seasonal free parking will make a huge difference to families, workers and businesses at a time when every penny counts. This is all part of a coordinated effort from our Sinn Féin team, from Assembly to Council, to tackle anything that acts as an economic barrier and to support local workers, businesses and residents alike. I have listened to local business owners who've raised concerns about reducing footfall in town centres, and we are committed to doing whatever we can to support businesses and to help our local independent retailers thrive. This will give Christmas shoppers the opportunity to avail of the free parking in the run-up on the Saturdays to Christmas, and I hope that people will come into the town centre and enjoy what our wonderful businesses have to offer. Sinn Féin's committed to supporting local businesses and regenerating our town centres, and I would encourage people to shop local and support small businesses. Gormaid
Amuagat. Thank you. Councillor Hanlon. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Kearns, for bringing forward this much welcome motion. We at the Alliance Party are more than happy to agree and fully support this motion. I would respectfully ask the member to consider a slight amendment to the wording, which we feel would enhance the motion's clarity and effectiveness. At the end of the last paragraph of the motion, we propose adding the following phrase, automatically every year at the start of the Christmas period across all council-operated car parks. This addition would ensure the action is a consistent with an annual commitment clearly defined by the period and scope, thereby providing certainty to both our residents and fantastic local businesses. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lee Sargent. Councillor Byrne?
Sorry. Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I will be putting forward an amendment just after I make a few comments. I have a number of questions as well. Obviously, it's in your control, Chair, understanding others if a matter is deemed urgent to hear it. So we don't even have to go to a suspension of standing orders. It's deemed urgent because it's the week of Christmas. I have a real concern about an issue that has been sitting on the council agenda for well over a year. It's been brought by Councillor Mathers and Councillor Killian Feehan. I went through the car parking, the working group, and has been stalled effectively. And now we're coming on the 1st of December. I'm going to try and get the comms out to people to say that the next three Saturdays are free. It's a huge, huge task on council officers, although a welcome one. But it shouldn't be just for Christmas. Here's a wee gift, and it's only for Christmas, and then taking it back away in January. Our parking across, and I'm going to talk about Newry because I park in Newry more than I park in Downpatrick, is an absolute shambles. And I know you've got DFI with one app and the Just Go app, and or Just Park app, sorry, and the Ringo app on the council. Two completely different apps that operate differently. First question that I have, And officers, if there is no answers to this, I want the answers to be brought back because this is something that we want to see rolled out, whether it's a free Saturday, going forward, to encourage people to come in and support businesses right throughout the year. As we know, we're going into January, February, where people are going to be hit when we're having the rates discussion, and we need to give something back. We need these questions answered. So the Just Park app that DFI used a number of weeks ago, that had changed from where you park and you hit start and you stop when you come back to your car, which is very easy. And albeit a lot of people hit start and it stopped itself when it ran out of time when you were at home, but you were able to control it and stop yourself getting a ticket. Just Park had then moved, and this is through DFI, to where you select the time that you're going to be there, which increases massively the likelihood for penalty charge notices. So was there any discussion with council officers through the working group before use of that app changed to make it easier for people to get PCNs? Because that's one thing we should be deterring against. So that's the first question. Secondly, on the Ringo app, we talked here in the... Before the motion was read out today, the motion went actually further, and then it was reduced just to the three Saturdays. And it was asking officers to go away and look at 1 hour free or a reduced rate for multiple hours. I propose that is put back into the motion for 1 hour free. And I'm not talking about a grace period at the end, because I think what DFI have done in the grace period at the end is confuse people, because you still have to pay. You still have to click into the app, select the amount of time that you're going to pay for, and then you've got the grace period at the end. If you paid for 2 hours, the grace period that you get is actually overtime, which you then can get charged because you stayed too long at the site. So grace periods don't control overtime as well. So we're adding a lot more confusion. So the other question that I want to ask to be brought back to a meeting going forward is, for us to give a free hour, we would have to engage with Ringo. So what way does it operate for us, either reduce from 50p an hour across our paid car parks to down to 30p an hour? If we made that decision as a collective in this council, as we own the car parks, what is the process and the timeline for going back to Ringo to get them to change their app? Because I think it's really, really important that car parks that we own, we should know how to change the terms and conditions with the company that operates them. And the third question that I have is, I'd like an income of our car parks to be brought back. At the end of year, last year, I can see it from, it's under the code, DDC parking, and I don't know if that's just the down district side car parking, where it shows the income and expenditure, and what we're paying in these apps, and what actually, for Ringo as a company, and what actually income that we have. Because how can we make decisions if we don't have that information? Now, this information should have been forthcoming in the last 12 months, because this motion was put forward in a timely fashion to go and get all this information so that we could actually give something back to people in Uri and Downpatrick. And now we're here as an emergency motion to try and say, well, do you know what, take a couple of free Saturdays. And it's simply not good enough, because you look across the city, and especially in Uri, and the amount of empty retail spaces, and especially into the shopping centres. I was in Banbridge last week. It is absolutely thriving with free parking. So we have the ability to make a decision here. I'm requesting the information so we can make a decision going forward. And I would request in an amendment that looking at the 1 hour free or the reduced rate with that information is brought back to council, or is put back into the motion and brought back to council. Parking cannot be just for Christmas, a wee token that we give to people.
Chair, just to be clear, so where there is a request for the three Saturdays, that can be implemented through the advertising, you know, and signage and stuff. So that is one that's easier, I suppose, for us to manage in the short term. When it comes to the hour, I think Councillor Burns is right. We can bring a paper back into the S&E committee to give consideration to that. In relation to Ringo, if we had wanted to amend our app, we would need to have notified them, give them 3 to 4 weeks to get the notice of change in the app. So that's why, because we did check out if you can, but it would take that time. So that's why we do it by signage, et cetera, and by advertising. So we could certainly look at that in relation to the 1 hour and how that could be managed. One of the challenges we face in our car parks at the minute is our machines are actually older machines. So we are due next year to come in to get those upgraded and changed, which will make it easier to actually change the machines themselves from a control perspective. So certainly can bring a paper back. 3 Saturdays is easier to manage in the sense that we can just advertise, but it'll mean the machines are still running and the app's still running because we can't get them amended. So we'll put it out in social media and on any local press that we have. And obviously on signage in the car parks is the only way that we could manage that. For information, the comparative income from the 3 Saturdays last year, I think, is somewhere in the region of about £10,000. I couldn't give you the breakdown of the hours at the minute. I wouldn't know, so the paper would have to be. Councillor Byrne, just to clarify, the hour are you saying to bring that back? So you're not asking for that in December?
Yeah, I'm asking for it to be added back in, to be brought back. I just want to just come back, Chair, on a point that might help here from Marie said. Contact Ringo and give them a period of notice before any changes. Once this motion was brought 12 months ago by Councillor Mathers and Finnegan, Power and Fehan, has any discussions been had with Ringo in terms of changing it? We need that information brought back. It's okay for us saying £10,000 on 3 Saturdays. We don't know what we're paying out in expenditure to this crowd as well. We need that information back. And the point I'm making is we can't just pluck 3 Saturdays out of the air. Why is it not every Saturday? Why are we not proposing here that it's free parking on every Saturday? Because if you want to go on Saturday to Banbridge, it's heaving. It's absolutely heaving. So we need to bring a paper back. I want it, and asking that the amendments brought back in on that, and that it's not restricted to three Saturdays, something that we get every Christmas, and that we make an informed decision on parking.
So, again, just for clarity, you're not asking for the hour to be brought in December, because I don't think we can manage that. Yeah, so we would bring back paper. I think there, just as well, there have been workshops held in relation to parking, and there was discussion in relation to changes in legislation and stuff that needs to happen, but we can certainly bring that all back into S&E for details, so we can.
Have that, Councillor Byrne? Is that the amendment? Okay. Councillor Andrews. Okay. Councillor Hannah?
Who's not to help themselves? Well, it was Pete, you see. No, Chair, to be quite honest with you, we in the DUP are happy enough to see any support to retail whatsoever, and the 3 Saturdays coming up on Christmas will be beneficial for them. We have no problem supporting the motion.
What's guys are on it? Mr. Taylor?
Yeah, Chair, obviously very happy to support the motion. I think, you know, as a council, you know, we should be doing everything we can to support and complement our local retailers, and we really probably shouldn't, I think Councillor Byrne has relayed this already, we shouldn't need an emergency motion to bring something forward like this, because I know there's a number of councils already made these announcements weeks and weeks ago about offering this type of support. So really there needs to be better forward planning from ourselves as a council body about these type of supports that we can offer during periods of Christmas and again in other periods of the year if that's possible as well, because and I'm conscious of what Councillor Byrne said also about, you know, Banbridge as an example. You know, I've been down that in occasions as well, and I am concerned about your area at the moment in particular, and I use your area as an example because that's my local shopping town. You know, I live in Bessbrook and your area is the closest, you know, big shopping town to me. And I certainly am concerned, and I know since from speaking to retailers and retail representatives, there are concerns about where things are at the moment. And you see many people passing through Newry to go to Banbridge to shop there, and there's reasons for that, and we as a council need to look seriously as to why that's happening and why we have so many retailers facing that and empty. But this here will play a very small part in trying to boost support to retailers ahead of Christmas, but I think there's a bigger job for us as a council to do in this regard as to how we can really genuinely, you know, help our retail sector in the local area. as I say, this will play a small part, but there's bigger issues at play here that we need to look at, and parking is one of them. So hopefully the comms get out as soon as possible as well in regard to this, and people are fully aware of the support that or the what's going to be offered here now, subject to being agreed tonight. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Hannan?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I suppose it's just to come in on the back of Councillor Burns' comments. So, and again, supporting Councillor Taylor and Councillor Hannan, this motion is about supporting local businesses. The wider issue of car parking in council has been going on for as long as I can remember, and there has been workshops that I've attended, and I know there's legislation needs to change, but I don't think we need to conflate it with what we're doing tonight. Yes, we need to address it, and yes, there was two motions brought in my memory over the last 18 months, and I know that they're working their way through the council and working their way through legislation and guidelines, but at the end of the day, we all know there's an inequality with car parking across Newry Mourne and Downmore Road. Sometimes they're free, sometimes they're being charged. You know, there's on-street, off-street. It's complete confusion for a lot of people. But I think what we need to focus on tonight, that in the three Saturdays going up to Christmas, that shoppers are welcomed into our towns and they're going to be able to park for free. We're very much Murr and what other councils have done in regards to ABC and Strabane Council. So I think it's a really good thing tonight, but absolutely we need to really get focused on it in 2026 on how to address car parking in general throughout the district.
Thank you, Councillor Hammond. Councillor Lee Sargentner.
I'll be very brief. It's just on the back of Councillor Taylor and Councillor Hammond. That's why like my amendments is about consistency, it's about every year. So we're not scrambling at the last minute, like, oh, we need to free car parking, you know, leading up to Christmas. But also what Councillor Hammond said, in Stingfield, car park is free. Council run car park is free, but Ballyhinch have to pay. So for this temporary solution, it sort of gives equality across for Lexington and Rowallan, people shopping in Stingfield or Ballyhinch. That's free parking for a while. Thanks.
Councillor Lee Sargentner, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, just briefly, just to get clarify coming back on what Councillor Hannan said. I'm well aware that it's going through workshops. I'm well aware that it's a discussion that's been had for a long time. My point is that the information comes back that we can actually make an informed decision on full car parking, because I find it probably hard to stomach that we sit in a meeting when we're talking about reducing car parking, and if we had went to Ringo a couple of weeks ago, we might have been able to do it. We should know that. For our car parks, we should know what the terms and conditions with Ringo is. How we don't know that, and that's only coming to us after we can't do it, is disappointing. So that's why, as it comes an emergency motion, we have to give three Saturdays, because that's all we can do. But if we had the information and what we actually can do to reduce the whip ring goal and what hoops we have to jump through, then we can make informed decisions. So I'm asking, that's why I asked for that information to come back, but fully support the motion.
Okay, so are we all in agreement?
Yep.
Councillor Carnes, would you like to sum up?
Yes, thank you for everyone that supported the motion, and hopefully something will be sorted out in the future.
Moving on to item number 15, motion and motion closing the Dermot Corner. Councillor Bowsey, would you like to speak to your motion and inform us as to who has seconded?
Newry Mourne and Down District Council expresses our sadness at the loss of our district's oldest newspaper. The Down Recorder has been a trusted source of local news since 1836, capturing our district's highest and lowest points for almost two centuries. As a district council, we thank the Down Recorder for their dedication to local news and sport over the decades. Print media captures an array of local news and culture that online media cannot, and losing this publication is a great loss for our district. Thus, we express our concern at losing one of our main sources of local journalism and convey our continued support for the important role local news outlets have in local democracy. This will be seconded by Councillor Jackson. Chairman, I don't often do motions that aren't directly about improving some sort of council service, but I considered the Down Recorder a vital organ for our local democracy. To lose my constituency's primary newspaper is a huge blow to so many aspects of our community that is yet to be fully felt. Local newspapers hold councils to account to keep the public informed about council decisions, council events, planning notices and other small items that can't be easily published collectively in the same way online, unless it makes a good headline. Outside of council, local newspapers help promote a vast array of local groups, which are already seeing falling numbers with the lack of publicity the Down Recorder offered.
the Down the Corridor was pivotal when I set up the likes of Crossgar Historical Society a few years ago, and actually the Down the Corridor was going to be our next speaker. And I can speak on behalf of all the local historical societies at our dismay at such a historical institution closing. Yes, its archives will thankfully always be there, but sadly nothing further will be added to it. Every week it wasn't just another 50-odd pages of current affairs being printed, it was another 50-odd pages of history being recorded. It catalogued the first days of our school children, the sporting and business achievements of our local stars, and of course all our neighbours who hadn't paid their TV licence, or worse. Ultimately, the Down the Corridor was a reflection of our community. It shaped our community as much as we shaped it, as any effective journalism and storytelling should. But if we don't support these papers, we lose them. The Down the Corridor was a family business owned by the same family for 4 generations. Thought so with all the Down the Corridor staff at this difficult time, especially before Christmas. I think it's right as a council we pay particular tribute to David Telford, who's been reported on the council longer than I've been alive. Between him and the rest of the team, I've always found them to be professional and their coverage fair. I've been reading the Down the Corridor since I was a child, and it gave me a great interest in community affairs from a young age. But the reality is my generation doesn't use print media to get news, it gets it online, and that's okay. What's important is not how our constituents get information, but that they get information. Hence, as a reference in my motion, we want to express our support to local news outlets, whether they're in print or online, for the important role they play in local democracy. I would just like to commend the journalists who, even this evening, continue to sit through our local our long council meetings regularly in order to bring information to the public. I think of regular attenders like Ryan Sands from the Morning Observer, Jim Mason from Down News, Donald Mackin from the Local Democracy Reporting Service, which, as the name suggests, was created several years ago. For the very reasons this motion is, which is marking the closure of a local newspaper, is emblematic of, i.e. the decline in local government reporting. So in closing, I just want to reiterate my sadness at the loss of such an integral local media outlet that is the Down the Corridor, and to also take this opportunity as a council to hopefully show our support for the important role that our local press has in making local government more accessible to the public. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Councillor Bosie. Councillor Jackson.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I just want to echo what my colleague, Councillor Bosie, has said. I mean, I think everybody in the chamber tonight recognises the important role that the Down the Corridor has had in the local community. And yeah, unfortunately now we're in an era where print media is obviously not as widely used. But just happy to second the motion, and thank you, Chair.
Councillor Jackson, Councillor Hanlon.
Sure, and thanks to Councillor Bisey for bringing the motion to Council. The Down the Corridor has been an institution in our area for many, many years. It was a routine part of many homes purchasing the paper on a Wednesday morning, finding out the latest news, getting sporting updates, and also seeing who made it into the photo slots. I know in my own family, the crossword was widely discussed, especially if there was any particularly tricky clues. My aunties are all on the phone to each other, so I know they're going to miss that. It has always provided a fair and balanced reporting voice for the district, and they never shied away from challenging decisions and holding to account where needed. My thoughts are with the staff of the Down the Corridor, many of whom have worked there for a long, long time and were dedicated and professional to the end. As we've just debated, supporting local businesses, we can't overlook the economic impact the closure of the paper and the offices are going to have on the town centre. Local staff are the backbone of foot flow in the town centre, shopping locally in their lunch hours, grabbing a bite to eat, coffees and supporting local shops. So the decline of print press in general is really concerning as local media strengthens community awareness, supports democracy and accountability and strengthens connections. So happy to support.
Councillor Hanlon, Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I do welcome the motion. I know we're out and about along the roads and on the streets, and no matter elsewhere in the Rowan DEA, the recent sad news about the loss of the Down the Corridor has been greeted by a sense of profound gloom and sadness by one and all. I'm showing my age. Fridays, Thursdays to Wednesdays were the highlight of the week when the recorder hit the shops, an award-winning paper covering local news, sport, history, and its launch pad of successful careers in media. Leslie Dawes, Jerry Kelly, Chris Hagan, and many more who worked in the Down Recorder and went on to greater things. Over the years, the Down Recorder shared our sadness, our joy, even bringing the election coverage as well. And many of the staff from Yvonne, Marcus and Malcolm, even David, the office staff, the photographers, all became friends. You know, many a mug of tea I would have had on Friday mornings along with others, with the staff in the Down Recorder. I thank them all personally for all their years of service to the community, and they will all be sadly missed. But again, in summing up, the motion, I do support the motion, and without hesitation convey and underline our continued support that local news media outlets play such an active role in the community. So happy to support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Lee Sargentner.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to note that the Alliance Party agrees with the DUP tonight. I know. But yes, so overall, the recent reduction in our local papers across the district, though, is a worrying trend. Local journalism plays a vital, multifaceted role in our community, enhancing our democratic processes and public accountability. When they act as crucial watchdogs, scrutinising the actions of local council here and officials, this ensures transparency and accountability, holding local power to account. And during election time, local papers provide essential context for local elections, helping volunteers to make informed decisions on who to vote and support. And as well as covering local courts, you know, they ensure the public can better understand judicial proceedings, therefore promoting the principle of open justice. So thank you, Councillor Bowsey, for bringing this motion tonight, and my thanks to the staff of the Down Recorder.
Thank you, Councillor Eastover. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, Chair. Want to obviously thank Councillor Bowsey for bringing the motion forward to Council this evening. It's important that we do, you know, discuss this issue. And I suppose, first and foremost, I want to express my, you know, sorrow to the staff that have lost their jobs as a result of the closure of the paper. And I know that there is a sadness within the local community as well at losing such an important news source. Local papers and the journalists employed within those papers, they play an important role in our local democracy, particularly in terms of holding, you know, our own council to account and indeed ourselves as elected representatives. So it is a worrying trend that we see. Whilst there are different sources of, you know, media now, I don't think any of us want to see disappearance of our local paper. It's something we've all grew up with, and I certainly recognise the important source of journalism that it is. So I think probably in concluding, I certainly want to express my best wishes to the staff, and I certainly hope that they all can find new employment at the earliest opportunity. I think that's the most important part of this as well.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Lewis?
Sure, thank you. Just to, again, echo those comments, to wish the staff all the best and whatever lies ahead of them. I think that we can't underestimate this is 189 years of history that was contained within this news paper, and you can trace the history of this town and this district right back through pages of that newspaper. And I have openly and often said that we as councillors, elected representatives, cannot do the job that we do without the benefit of those local papers. I can distinctly remember back in 2014 when I was first starting out in politics that there was a very deep, very annoying pothole and clock, and I threatened to go out with my own stuff and fix this pothole. And there was a journalist from the Down Recorder had rung me to say, Alan, we've put your statement to the DFI and they say they're going to take you to court if you fix that. I thought, fantastic, brilliant. So that week on the front page of the Down and Quarter was DFI threatens to take Alan Lewis to court. You know, this is the type of quirky local interest stories that the like of the Down and Quarter would have. And I would say that there's not a councillor here who hasn't got a copy or a clip out of their first picture from school, their youngster's first picture from school. All through these newspapers, we could document the history of our town and our district right back. And I am deeply sorry to see the loss of the paper, and just would like to wish all the staff all the best, thank them for the years of dedication, service, and their genuine friendship. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. So we're all in agreement?
Yep.
Councillor Bowser, would you like to sum up?
Nothing further to add. Thanks for the support.
Thank you, Councillor Bowser. Okay. Moving on to item number 16 on the agenda, which is notice of motion of water courses. And item standard order 16.1.6, this will be heard at committee. So, Councillor Truesdale, would you like to read your notice of motion?
Thank you, Chair. It's going to be seconded by Councillor Helena Young. The motion reads that this council conducts a scoping exercise and creates an available map of watercourses throughout the district where they are the riparian owners, meaning they are responsible for their maintenance, and conducts a survey into their condition and any works required. Example, drainage and clearing of debris, presents a report of costs involved and returns it to council committee for decision, to write to DFI Rivers with this information outlining watercourses DFI are responsible for, ensuring the free flow of to alleviate flooding and to assist land drainage. This council also presents a clear timeline with repairs for the retaining walls of the Shibna River Newcastle, as well as a plan in conjunction with DFI for the Shibna River Weir. Thank you.
Moving on to item number 17, notice of motion water quality, and then item standard number 16.1.6. This will also be heard at committee. Councillor Finn, would you like to speak your motion, see who's seconded, please?
Yeah, so this motion will be seconded by Councillor Feehan, and it's Newry Morning Down District Council notes with disappointment recent figures that suggest water quality levels at two lakes in the district were of poor quality. Recognises the environmental importance of ensuring our district has clean bodies of water, further recognises the economic potential of ensuring bodies of water such as Newry Canal and Camel Lake are clean and fit for use, and will work with DERA and other external bodies to support improvements to water quality.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. Moving on to item number 18, notice of motion Newcastle flooding. Councillor Devlin, would you like to speak to your motion and tell us who seconded it, please?
Thank you, Chair. But this council notes with deep concern the recent flooding events in Newcastle, which caused significant distress and disruption to residents, recognises that timely maintenance of gullies, drains and land is essential to reducing flood risk, and therefore calls the Department for Infrastructure and DERA to work together as a matter of urgency to implement a regular programme of inspection, clearance and maintenance of gullies, drains and associated infrastructure in Newcastle, particularly in known flood risk areas, including the need for Northern Ireland Water to expedite their hydraulic modelling review of the sewage system serving Marguerite and the surrounding area, publish the results and identify a permanent solution, ensure DERA-owned or managed lands are maintained to facilitate the free flow of water and prevent blockages, and that both departments engage this council, local elected reps and the Newcastle RCRG to identify priority locations and establish clear lines of accountability and communication ahead of future heavy rainfalls, that every reasonable step is taken to prevent future flooding and protect local homes, businesses and community facilities. Councillor Clark will be seconding my motion, Chair. So, Chair, I want to see a day that I don't need to come here to this house or go to the media to talk about flooding, but here we are again. The flooding we witnessed in Newcastle on the 19th of October was again frightening. Families were left watching water rise and wondering if their homes would be ruined. That is not a situation any resident should find themselves in. It demands serious, immediate action. DFI has responsibilities, and I will say plainly, consistent gully and drainage maintenance is the minimum standards residents expect, but we must be honest, this flooding was not simply a roads issue. What happened in Newcastle was the result of pressure building upstream, and for anyone who witnessed or saw the footage of the sheer volume of water coming off the mountain, lifting tarmac, blocking drains and causing sheer destruction, it couldn't simply have been rain. Donard Wood is a critical part of the flood pathway. When watercourses are not cleared, when culverts are blocked, when pathways effectively become channels, and when basic site management is neglected, the entire town pays the price. That is DERA's responsibility, and that is not being met. Now, I do welcome the Minister's confirmation that replanting will take place, and that the balance of native species currently sitting at only 30% will be improved. that is long overdue, and it will strengthen the woodland in the decades to come. Native trees sub stabilise soil, slow runoff, and support a healthier ecosystem. But let me be absolutely clear, replanting does not excuse inaction on the immediate problems. Residents cannot wait 10 or 20 years for saplings to solve a problem Deira should already be dealing with. Floodwater did not reach people's doors because of the type of trees growing on the mountain. It reached them because essential water channels were allowed to clog, culverts were not maintained, and land that should be managed to safely move water simply wasn't. So yes, I very much welcome nature-based solutions, but nature-based solutions without basic hands-on maintenance is not a plan, it's simply a distraction. The area must take its responsibility seriously. That means a full inspection of all watercourses and culverts in Donard Wood, a programme of immediate clearing and maintenance, a clear map of ownership and responsibility, and ongoing monitoring ahead of forecast heavy rainfall. These are not ambitious asks. They are the basics residents deserve, and they are the basics that have not been consistently delivered. That is why this motion calls for Deira, DFI, Northern Ireland Water, this council, and the community RCRG to sit down together with clear lines of accountability. Residents want action, not agencies passing the buck. They want departments that communicate, that plan together, and that take responsibility for what they are responsible for. Newcastle is really, really unique. We sit between the mountains and the sea, but we do not have to accept that geography means inevitable flooding. What we need is proper upstream management from Deira, proper downstream management from DFI, and proper forward planning from all agencies. If Deira does its job, and if DFI does its job, then our homes, our businesses, and our community spaces will be far better protected. That's what this motion demands, and that is what our residents deserve. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Evelyn. Councillor Clark.
So sorry, Chair. First of all, I'd like to welcome this important motion. I would like to thank Councillor Lord Evelyn for tabling it. I will be seconding the motion. Well, thank you for asking me to second, or privilege to do so. I believe this demonstrates our united commitment, you know, to protecting the people of Newcastle from, you know, from future flooding. Working together to protect Newcastle from flooding. Indeed, all the public reps, we all work well, you know, and trying to do the best for Newcastle. I fully recognise the distress caused by the recent flooding events, particularly in the Tollybarnigan area. Areas such as Marguerite Park, Larchfield Park, Allen Grove, Lease Close, Shimley Road, Mourneview, parts of King Street, Middle Tollymore Road. I could go on. You know, there's that many locations that are sensitive to flooding. The motion rightly emphasised the need for collaborative working between the Department for Infrastructure, DIRA, NI Water, and this council, ensuring that every agency plays its part in a coordinated way. An accountable way in regards to the prevention of flooding. And I think that's the key word, is prevention. You know, too often we see organisations, you know, having a great response after the flooding, where if simple inspections hadn't been carried out previously, particularly during yellow and amber warnings for flooding, there would be a lot, you know, less damage. That's for sure. Sinn Féin strongly support the call, you know, for regular programmes of inspection, clearance and maintenance of gullies, drains and all associated infrastructure, especially, as I say, in the high-risk locations to help prevent avoidable blockages and flooding. A joint programme of work shared openly between all responsible bodies is essential to ensure transparency, clear responsibilities and timely action before heavy rainfall events occur. We welcome the requirement for NI Water to expedite the hydraulic modelling review of the sewage network serving Marguerite and neighbouring streets and to publish findings swiftly so that a permanent long-term solution can be delivered. It's vital, as Laura said, that their owned or managed lands are properly maintained to ensure the free flow of water, preventing overland flooding that impacts homes, businesses and community facilities. I welcome the works that have been commenced in repairing drainage infrastructure in Donard Forest. However, as I said, these works should have been undertaken before the flooding incident occurred. Sinn Féin also highlight the importance of retaining water where possible until it can be released into the tide, helping to reduce the pressure on the drainage systems during peak rainfall. Soft-engineered approaches should be considered further upstream. Numerous times we've talked to river agencies about this, and until this particular time, it's failing deaf ears. the Castle Park, which is in council ownership, the Boating Lake, it is heavily silted at present. So the Castle Park Boating Lake, it stores large volumes of water. You know, when the tide is full in, when it's heavily silted up, it can't store that water. So the water's going back into our communities. And so there needs to be discussions between relevant statutory bodies, an agreement to undertake this type of work, because it's essential to any flood management plan in the Newcastle area. You have to hold in areas for water if you can't get the water into the tide. The same issue is in the Mournview Park, Mournview Road area, but they always get flooded. Their street is completely flooded at every heavy rainfall. And there is a small holding tank adjacent to the caravan site nearby. But there's always a problem with the pumps, or there's something wrong in the water. People have just got used to it. If it's not coming in through the doors, they just get about their business, you know, but they shouldn't have to accept to live like it. You know, so I think that engagement is essential. Engaging with council, local reps, and, as Laura says, the Newcastle Flood Resilience Group, and I'd like to pay tribute to that group also. It is essential that, you know, we look at the priority locations, communication gets strengthened, because, you know, continually, when it heavy rain, residents in them areas are extremely worried, stressed, but also active reps are the exact same, and I say officers are probably in the same position, because it's all like chance that the tide will be out. You know, will there be a southeastern surge coming onto the coastline? All them things, that's the type of stuff we're doing. You know, even as soon as we hear weather warnings, we're checking all that type of stuff. We're talking to people, you know. But there needs to be a holistic plan in regards to, I think we'll have a holistic plan after the flooding events. Before the events, I don't think we do. You said elected representatives certainly not involved in. No, it's always last minute type stuff. You know, we're trying to identify where the flood water will be. So ultimately, the motion, Laura's motion, is about ensuring that every reasonable step is undertaken to protect our community, minimise the risk, and give residents across Newcastle and its rural hinterland the security they deserve. So thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. On this one in particular, the flood in Laura, thanks for bringing the motion forward. This one, to be quite honest with you, happened within a few yards of where my mother-in-law and father-in-law, my father-in-law is 90, says, and my mother-in-law is not far behind him. We got a phone call that morning, so I did say that the water was coming down the hill. We couldn't work out what my father-in-law was saying, because he's right there. So at the last of the day, we went down to see what was going on. And my father-in-law is living in Slievenagh Brooks, he is, for nearly 60 years. He says he's never seen this. Never. Maybe it's just by good grace of God that the water just did not turn down the road just at the top of the hill. It was just the way the fall of the road. He says he's never seen anything like that. For the water to come down there, and the big thing we have to be really thankful for, there was no death or injury, so there wasn't. The way the water just went down the hill, it just couldn't have been any. It's the least worst option we could have possibly had. And down off the mountains, I did. It was just biblical in what was seen. So it was. So just on everything Laura has said, you're correct. Everything Wally says, he's correct. Prevention is going to have to be a big part of this. All the statutory agencies, the DFI, and the Department of Minister Muir, they all have a big part to play, and all the statutory agencies have to get together. I don't know how they're going to be coordinated. I'm not sure if there's a committee or anything that will sit to try to pull this all together. We do need a full investigation into how this happened. It's a fairly unique set of circumstances. I know Willie would maybe know more about it than I would. The trees were removed off the mountain. I don't know if there was damage done up there. That needs to be investigated. It's not that we're looking to find fault with anybody. We want to find a solution that will stop this happening again. You talk about cleaning gullies and cleaning all that. The gullies would not have made any difference in this particular situation. So it was just a torrential flood. It just came down off the mountains. Nothing could have stopped it. The only thing that we were very fortunate in the way the route the water took the least worst option, I believe. I know the people that were involved probably wouldn't have said that. And the damage to the road, to be quite honest with you, yes, it was a problem, but I don't think there was that many houses overly badly impacted by it. It wasn't like the floods on the Shimner Road and out to Marguerite Park and up to Brownsford Avenue that had happened before. Newcastle, as Wally said, and Laura both said, it's a unique recession, so it is. It's at the foot of Slave Donner, so it is. The water has to come downhill, which one agrees that we do. There's no issue with that whatsoever. It has to go somewhere. So with the statutory agencies, with the ministries involved, it's not that we're looking to push the blame on anything. We just do not want it to happen again. That is what I'm saying, and we were very fortunate. There's no massive injuries. There's damage, yes, but not overly. So my thoughts on the whole thing is, Laura, I'm not sure how we're going to get this coordinated there. We do need to get everybody to pull together in this, possibly some sort of with the DEA councillors, especially the local ones, they're to find some sort of an overriding body that needs to look at what the investigation is, what the results of the investigation is, and how we can prevent it. That's what I would like to say, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, Chair, thank you. Chair, I obviously don't represent the Newcastle area, but certainly seeing for myself the disruption and distress that has been caused to local residents during the most recent incident of flooding and indeed those that have taken place prior to that. So I want to thank Councillor Devlin for bringing forward the motion tonight. I know that she's been very, you know, vocal on this issue in the past and has been, you know, very clear on what she wants for the residents in the Newcastle area. And it's clear that, you know, the residents there can't be expected every time there's some weather warning or heavy rainfall to endure a concern about the welfare of themselves and their properties. And I certainly feel if the statutory agencies can be more proactive in terms of coordination, and that can take many forms, but certainly in terms of looking at how maintenance improvements, and I know your comments, obviously, Councillor Hannah, about saying that maintenance on this occasion mightn't have resolved the issue, but certainly it is an issue that looks at that we need to look at. I think general infrastructure in Northern Ireland, general maintenance is an issue ongoing, not just for Newcastle but across the board, so it is something that needs to be looked at, and indeed what improvements are required to local infrastructure and how suppose statutory agencies, including ourselves, can be proactive in that regard rather than finding ourselves in a situation where suppose you're reacting to incidents like this here, as has been the case in the past. So I certainly hope, you know, by bringing forward this motion, Councillor Devlin, I can set those wheels in motion, and it is given the attention that it deserves, because as I say, residents in Newcastle shouldn't have to endure this on the regularity that they are at present.
Yep. Councillor Taylor, Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to Councillor Devlin for bringing this. I'm not going to go over the history of the flooding of Newcastle, because everybody's singing from the same hymn sheet, and we do need a multi-agency working group of some sort. We need clear lines of communication, and we need accountability ahead of heavy rainfall. We also have to remember that we have no flood warning system, as does England, Scotland and Wales. And I think we suffer because of that, because we have a mishmash of different information coming from different sources. And we do need a clear executive summary and with recommendations from the hydraulic modelling review of Marguerite and the surrounding area. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. So are we all in agreement? Yep. Councillor Devlin, would you like to sum up?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I suppose thanks to other councillors spoken here. I know that they've all got sort of local hands-on knowledge. We have so many different flood risk areas in Newcastle, and in recent times the responses just all seem very, very reactionary. We had the two flood alleviation schemes in Newcastle that obviously delivered, and I remember Nicola Mallon actually coming down after August 2020 and saying, look, I'll get this sorted, and that protected so many homes. The problem now is the surface water. That's we've all moved to now. It's shifted. You feel as if you're solving some problems and then others arise. I mean, on that same day, Glenn, the speed bumps in Newcastle were causing massive issues where the water was coming flying off the mountain, and the speed bumps were actually acting as nearly funnels where they were directing like channels of water right down to the houses at the bottom, maybe Slieve Noyne Park and Slieve Bull Park at the very, very bottom. But when those people rang Floodline, there was no like hierarchy of urgency, despite the fact those properties were so much more at risk than the ones were. So that type of stuff should be basic communication. Looking at Connor and his Rivers Unity hat on. That should be, you know, there should absolutely be a way. But there should absolutely be a way of having a register that those properties, when the water's coming off the mountain, they're more at risk because of the infrastructure which has been man-made. But look, I appreciate everybody's contributions, but it's all about communication, Chair, and how those agencies communicate with each other, and don't just all hands on deck, let's sort this problem out, and then if it goes away, we'll just take a step back and forget about it. It needs to be kept on the sort of on the agenda until we get the proper solutions in place. But I'm conscious of time, Chair. Thank you, and thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much, Councillor Devlin. So that brings tonight's meeting to an end. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year.